would have imagined that a baby born in a dusty little tiny town in Palestine over 2,000 years ago would have such an impact? Think of the impact that that baby has had, even on us today. Think about the, if you've been to Target lately, everybody's shopping there. It's so crowded. It's because of Christmas. If you're traveling, you know that the airports are going to be jammed. I think of the fact that probably the biggest miracle I can think of is that in our world, in our money-loving society, we actually shut down all commerce. Businesses close, schools close, the government closes for a couple days because of something that happened over 2,000 years ago, the birth of a baby. Who would have imagined that kind of impact? Who would have imagined that that baby would have literally split our calendar into AD and BC? Do you realize that? That every time you turn your iPhone on and look at the date, every time you write a checkout, you're giving testimony of this baby's birth. Because this is a visual I have. You can take a timeline, like a tape measure, and you can pin it right there in Bethlehem underneath that stable, underneath that cradle, and send it all the way into the future to where we're here today, that timeline, and you can follow that timeline back 2,017 years to this day. And if you follow it back, it leads right to the beginning of AD begins right there in that cradle. What happened? Why do we have 2017? Because something happened 2,017 years ago. Jesus was born. It changed our entire world. Our world has never been the same. Why is that? The Bible tells us the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him, say it with me, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And it's made all the difference. Our world has never been the same. I like what the great Christian J.B. Phillips wrote. He said, "Behind all our fun and games at Christmas time, we should not try to escape a sense of awe, almost a sense of fright at what God has done. We must never allow anything to blind us to the true significance of what happened at Bethlehem so long ago. Nothing can alter the fact that we live in a visited planet." And I love that. Everyone's always looking for extraterrestrials. They're always looking for it. We have one right here. Jesus was otherworldly. He was the God-man that came down to this planet and was born as a baby, as one of you and me, which is the most remarkable, most astounding, most incredible, miraculous thing that's ever happened on this planet. And we celebrate it today and this month. Ultimately, Christmas is about the coming of God to the world. That's what Christmas is about. We saw that in the Wonderful Christmas program. That's our 18th annual Christmas program, kids' Christmas program. Let's give it up again for the Christmas program. But if Christmas is about the coming of God into the world, my question that I want to answer briefly today is, why does it matter to you? What difference does it make in your life? Really, what difference does it make in our lives today? Let's look at four implications of God with us. You have a handout. You can pull that out. And we're going to cover this morning. Four implications of the fact that that baby was born. How does it affect you today? How should it affect you today? Let's just jump right into it. Here's the first one. First implication of God with us, Jesus being born, is that it means for you and I on this planet, God is among us. God is among us. It says in Colossians 1, verse 15 and 16, Jesus Christ is the exact likeness of the unseen God. He existed before God made anything at all. Let me read that again. Jesus existed before God made anything at all. And in fact, Christ himself is the creator of everything. Do you realize Jesus didn't start in a stable? He's always been. In fact, Jesus, that baby that was laying in that cradle, he's the one that created the tree that was cut down and formed into a cradle. Jesus made that tree. Jesus made the dirt that the straw grew out of that was cut and put inside his cradle. It's astounding. It's mind-blowing. Jesus invaded this planet. That's not unremarkable. That's pretty significant, in other words. And it wasn't some magic trick. It was a real event in human history. And that makes Christianity unique, doesn't it? We have a God who became one of us. There's no other world religion that can claim that. But it really happened. And that's why it's good news, and we need some good news. I like this quote by Napoleon. Napoleon and world leaders have some amazing things to say about Jesus. He was no ordinary man. Napoleon said, "I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I, we founded empires, but on what do we rest the creations of our genius? Upon force. Jesus Christ founded his empire upon love, and at this hour, millions of men would die for him." Jesus was no ordinary man. When he came to this world, he impacted it. And that means God is among us. He invaded our planet. Here's the second implication of God with us. It means that God is accessible to you and to me. In other words, you can know him. Some of you may be here this morning, and I suspect you are. You're wondering, or you've decided, or you've got it in your brain that you really can't know God. Thank you so much, Kelly. That you can't know God. That somehow he's unknowable. That he's so much bigger and so much more powerful than you, that he's unknowable. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus came as a baby to help you understand that he's among us and that he's accessible. You can know him. And he actually came this morning. His desire for each one of us, no matter how you feel about this, no matter what you think about God, his desire truly is to have a relationship with you. And this might blow your mind, but he didn't come just so you would go to church, so you'd be religious. Jesus didn't come and start a church. He didn't come and start a religion. He came to have a relationship with you and me, to break down all the barriers so you and I could enter into his presence and have a relationship with this loving God. That's why he came. He wants you to know him. I like what it says in John 17. It says, "And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth." You want eternal life? It's in knowing Christ. That's where it's at. It's not in your good works. It's not in your church attendance. It's not in your tithing. Do you know Christ? Not know about him. Do you know him today? You can know him. Again, so many of us think that the answer to getting close to God is religion. You know, good religion simply points you to Jesus. Did you know that? Religion in and of itself actually can be quite harmful. If you think about it, when Jesus came to the planet, who was it that argued with him the most? Who didn't like him the most? Who persecuted him and eventually nailed him to a cross? The religious leaders. It's not about religion. I like this quote. Rebecca Pippert said, "It's a profound irony that the Son of God, Jesus, when he visited this planet, one of the chief complaints against him was that he was not religious enough." Can you imagine? God, you need to be more like us. You need to be more religious. Jesus, you're not going to fit in our religious club. You're not worthy enough. You don't fit. That's what they told him. That's what he experienced. He didn't come for religion, men and women. He came for a relationship with you. With you. He loves you. Here's the third implication. God with us. It means he's among us, he's accessible, and he's available. Which means you can find him. You can find him. In John 6:37, it says this. Jesus says, "Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." If you come to God in faith, he will not drive you away. Some of you think, and it may be even been told and led astray by churches that teach things that you think, "I don't want to have anything to do with God. I don't want to go to church. I don't like those people. I don't like what they teach. I just don't like it." Can I just share with you? I understand that. I understand that concept. I understand the hurt feelings. I understand those are very real to you. But can I also say this to you? That wasn't God. That was not God. Men and women, we're fallible. We make mistakes, and your church leaders will make mistakes, and there are churches that teach wrong things. There's no doubt about it, but that is not God. God is available to you. He loves you, and when you come to him, he won't drive you away. You think, well, I'm not of the right religion. I'm kind of irreligious. I haven't been to church in a long time. I don't know God. I don't read my Bible. God surely couldn't accept me. Well, yeah, he can. And he showed us that through the incarnation, through the birth of the baby Jesus. Think of the Christmas story. And honestly, if you're here this morning thinking, I don't know if God is accessible to me. I don't know if I can go to him. I'm not worthy. If you feel that this morning, let me just, again, remind you about the Christmas story. Who was it that the angels came to first? It was in the play, if you missed it. The little kids knew. Shepherds. And do you realize, though, that the shepherds were the dregs of society back then? They were the lowest of the low. They smelled. Nobody liked them. They couldn't vote. They had to stay out in the fields. They were like the lowest of the low. Yet God, in his wisdom, chose to go to them first. He didn't go to the politicians. He didn't go to the religious leaders. He didn't show up at the temple. He didn't show up at the offices of rich and mighty people. God chose to reveal himself to the shepherds. So if you feel lowly, if you feel like I'm not sure God could ever accept me, the answer is yes, he can. We see it in the Christmas story. It's clear he can. You may say, well, I'm not very religious and I don't go to church. Well, God accepts people of all religion. It's about a relationship, not religion. Think of the Magi. They were astrologers. They had an Eastern religion. And they came to baby Jesus and he received them. I don't know what you grew up with your religion, whether you were Muslim or Jewish or Orthodox Christianity or LDS or whatever you are, you need to understand this morning that God wants a relationship with you. And he's accessible to you. You can find him no matter what your status is. You think, well, I'm too young or I'm too old. No, you're not. Think of the Christmas story. We have some old characters in the Christmas story that don't get their due. I think they should be on more Christmas cards. Elizabeth and Zechariah. Then we have youngsters like Mary and Joseph, who were probably teenagers at the time of this event. And obviously key players, and they were accessible to God. No matter what your race, no matter what your gender, your age, your social status, men and women, God loves you. And he wants a relationship with you. He truly does. Here's the last implication of God with us today. God with us means God is approachable, which means you can receive him. You can have a relationship with him. How do we know that? Well, he gave us a pretty good picture in the fact that he became a baby, right? In Luke 2, it says this, so they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby. It was a human baby who was lying in the manger. And then in Philippians 2:7, it says, he became like men and was born a human being. God became a human being. But he didn't do it the way I would. You know, I've shared that before. If it was me, if I was going to come to the earth, I'm God and I'm coming to the earth, I'd probably do it at the halftime of the Super Bowl, and the fireworks would be going off and I'd be lowered down in this big throne and the lights would be shining and I would say, behold your king, and people would applaud. That's not the way God did it. He came as a baby. He came as a baby. Why? By the way, I bet it shocked the angels when God said, here's my plan. I'm going to send my son as a human baby. That would be akin to you and I turning into one of those slugs, those snails that crawl across and leave that streak across your sidewalk in the summertime, that slimy. It'd be like you and I going, I'm going to become a snail to save snaildom, or, the snails from all their sins. Whatever sin snails have. Well, I'm going to save them. I'm going to become a snail. That doesn't even come close to what Jesus did, being the creator of the universe, of everything we know, and becoming a human baby. It doesn't even come close. I think one of the reasons that Jesus did that was because no one's intimidated by a baby. Are you? I just want to illustrate something. You're not going to forget this. Christmas tradition. I want to help you get a picture to really lock into what God did for us. The God of the universe who made you, made all the trees, made the earth, made all the stars in the heavens, became one of these. It's like Lion King. This is Eleanor. This is what God did. He became so vulnerable, so unintimidating. Why are you scared to come to God? What are you afraid of? Could God have gone to any further lengths to show you that he's approachable, you don't need to be intimidated, that he wants a relationship with you? How could God do this? But this is what he did. And don't miss it. I think of things like the fact that most likely if Joseph was like any other father, there came a point in Jesus, baby Jesus' life that Joseph took baby Jesus and in order to play with him, took him and threw him up in the air and caught him. Thank goodness he caught him. And God was airborne. God was airborne because he came as one of these. He did it for you, and he did it for me. Let's not applaud for Eleanor because she'll get startled. Thank you. Finally, this baby became a man and died. This may shock some of you, or some of you think, well, that was horrible. Well, in one sense it was, but in another sense, you need to understand that was the plan all along. That was God's plan. Become a baby, grow up, be sinless, and die. Why did he die? Why did he have to die? Because of you. You killed him. And so did I. Theologically, that's absolutely correct. You and I killed him. He died because of you and I, what we did. You see, you and I, we did something called sin. We fall short of God's standard. It's like breaking the law. It's breaking God's holy law. And when we do that, we owe a penalty. We owe a penalty that we could never pay. It's eternity apart from God in a place called hell. That's what we deserve because of our sin. Each one of us have sinned. Oh. But God loved us so much. He did the remarkable. He did the miraculous. He did the unthinkable. He became one of us and grew up and then sacrificed himself, laid down his life for you. For you and for me. That's why he did it. He substituted himself for you and for me. So you and I, get this, can now have a relationship with God because Jesus died on the cross to pay for all of your sins, all of your wrongdoing, so that he could clean you up. So you receive that gift, apply it to your life, and you are cleansed by the blood of Jesus of all your sins. And because of that, you can now have a relationship with the God of the universe. And that's what he's wanted all along. If you ever wonder if God loves you, all you have to do is look at the cross. And God says, you, I love you this much. I love you this much. He died for you. He's approachable. He's accessible. He's available to you today. It says in John 3:16, this isn't just a verse that you see at football games. This is an important verse in the Bible. And says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the great exchange. Jesus dying for you, a sinful human being. That's what he did. He gave his son, that whoever believes shall not perish in hell, which is what we deserve, but to have eternal life. Life in heaven with God forever. So have you accepted this gift? It's a gift. He offers it to you. You can have it today. Don't think, oh, I'm not worthy. You're not worthy. None of us are. That's not the point. He's offering you a gift. Gifts are given freely, not because you deserve them. Quite the opposite is true. We don't deserve it, but God offers it to us freely. And many of you may know about God. Many of you may think, you know, I know the Savior, and I would challenge you. Do you know him, or do you just know about him? There's a big difference. It's the difference between being engaged to somebody and finally putting on the ring and saying, I do. There's a big difference. You may not think so, but there is. Do you know Jesus or just know about him? You can know him today. That's his desire for you. And I just want to suggest to you, maybe you don't believe this, but I believe this. Do you believe that God has you here on purpose, that he didn't make a mistake today? Do you believe that? I believe that's true. I believe he tenderly and humbly and gently wants to encourage you and coax you to receive the free gift that he offers you, the best gift you'll ever get, the gift of having your sins forgiven. You can have that right now as we pray. Would you bow your heads as we pray together? And that may be you today. I want to encourage you, don't let another Christmas go by without receiving this gift that Jesus offers you. You can pray. You can ask him to come into your heart. It's a matter of faith. It's you trusting in him. And as we turn to God in prayer, I do sense that and believe that some of you have probably been close to God in the past, or you heard this message before and you chose not to receive it time and time again, or maybe you've drifted away. I want to encourage you to settle it today. There's not a better time, really, to come back to God to receive this gift than at Christmas time. And let me clarify again, we're not talking about religion. I'm not saying come to the Rock Church or go to some church. That's not what we're saying. I don't care if you have a religious background. You may or may not. You may have grown up in a Catholic or Protestant or LDS, Jewish, Buddhist, Baptist, irreligious. I don't know. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a relationship that you're going to enter into with the God of the universe, who was a baby and grew up and died for your sins so you could know him. And that can begin today. This is your moment. This is your moment to accept God's Christmas gift to you. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer. And if that expresses the desire of your heart in faith, why don't you quietly in your heart pray along with me? You can say something like this quietly. Dear God, I don't want to let another Christmas season pass without accepting your gift to me. And thank you so much for coming to this earth as a baby so that I can know what you're like. Thanks for making yourself accessible. I'm amazed that you would want a relationship with me. And I tell you by faith, I want a relationship with you. I want to learn how to trust you. I'm going to choose to trust you today. I know that I've sinned. I know I've done a lot of things wrong. And I'm especially grateful for the forgiveness that you offer because of your shed blood on that cross. From this day forward, I want to be under new management. I want to trust you. I'm going to trust you to be the Lord of my life right now, December 17, 2017. I receive the gift of eternal life and ask you to come into my life and forgive my sins once for all. Thank you for hearing my prayer. For it's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Would you keep your heads bowed, please, all of us? And if you just pray that prayer with me, can I just say Merry Christmas? That's the best gift you'll ever get. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, I want to ask you to do one thing. If you just look up at me to acknowledge that you prayed that prayer in faith, you said yes to Jesus for the first time, would you just look, tip your head up and look right in my eyes? Do that right now. And if that's you looking at me right now, I need to have you just slip your hand up. Again, this is a matter of faith. Don't be embarrassed. Just quietly slip it up so I can see it. Raise it up real high right now. Let me see it. Thank you. Keep it up. I want to see it. Raise it up. Very good. All right, you can put your hand down. If you raise your hand just now in faith, again, God bless you guys for doing that. What I want you to do is to grab the card in your chair, behind your chair. Just fill that out and then find me. I'll be out front. I just want to greet you and say hi. And I know there's things that will be helpful for you. I'll send you one email. I won't stalk you. I'm just going to send you an email. It'll be a resource. God bless you. God bless you for having the faith to say, you know what? This is my time. This is my time. So God bless you. Let's finish in prayer. Lord, thank you again for this time. Thank you for the reminder, the wonderful reminder that you came to this planet. You came to show us that you are accessible to every one of us, that you are available and approachable, God. Thank you that you invaded this planet and our world has never been the same. I pray that you would be glorified and honored through all of our lives as we celebrate and remember the true meaning of Christmas this year, the coming of God into the world as a baby in Jesus Christ. So we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.